You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. We continue here late on Monday afternoon. We go to Stan in Colorado. Hello, Stan.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want a legal opinion, and that might be best from you. Regarding Calipari's contract and what is the university on the hook for? Doesn't he have a lifetime contract?
Well, yeah. I mean, I believe there's a value on it. The attached value is $40 million. Now, short of cause, which there's no way they could come up with, they would probably be stuck having to pay it out unless they found some agreement. And that's usually where you go on a big deal like this, is you find some, is there a number that you would take to go away tomorrow?
Okay.
And, Calipari may go, you know what, you write me a check for $22 million and I'll see you later. That's a lot of money. I mean, I don't know, but by the way, it's just an opinion here, but I don't think the university has even considered getting rid of him.
Well, I'm just thinking that if, unless he pulls some miracles in the last 7 weeks, his seat is going to get hotter and hotter.
Well, it's going to, but he's also on the verge of the number one recruiting class, which always keeps him going because he's such a great recruiter. And knowing the people at Kentucky moderately well, they just don't look like they would be eager to get rid of him without any other reason other than the program is underperforming. I realize at some point it is incumbent upon him, and I frankly thought this was a big season, but I thought they were going to be very good. Weren't they preseason number one in one poll before the season?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it really depends on how he finishes. What you have to worry about, and I'm just saying from his standpoint, is you're getting this drumbeat. I mentioned, for those who missed it earlier, a USA Today columnist called for his head today, the New York Post. You're starting to get a lot of national chatter. And with each loss that occurs, which makes it more unlikely that he gets in the tournament, that is only going to intensify. And I don't really know where the rank-and-file Kentucky fan is. We hear from them occasionally, and most have been willing to stay the course, but that loss Saturday was bad. I watched the first half of that game to see. I was curious. And Kentucky just came out. They were listless. They were not motivated. And that's the problem. We're talking college basketball here. Most people can excuse a loss, but they can't excuse a team that didn't come ready to play. Kentucky caught fire. They came back, and then they went cold again at the end of that game.
It sure did, and the average fan can see that right away.
Yeah, and Stan, listen, every fan base wants to think of their fans as the most knowledgeable, but I would put Big Blue Nation at the top of the list. I mean, they know everything about their program.
I think that's true.
Well, Stan, I'll try to spare you the cliches of we will see what happens here in the next few weeks, but every game becomes a premium now for John Calipari, and he's at Mississippi State tomorrow, which has been fabulous lately. They have really Missouri, Mississippi State, they're two programs that, with first-year coaches, almost nothing was expected, and they are both making a lot of noise right now.
Well, it doesn't bode well.
No, I'm trying to be careful here because I really like Cal, and I was one who thought that they could win it all this year. So, I mean, you're talking to a real expert right here. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We'll continue our close eyes on the Kentucky program as it hasn't quite reached the most critical phase of the season yet, but it's coming. Louis is in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, Louis.
Hey, Paul. I was just wanting to comment about your guest that you had for Pat Summitt.
Yes.
I was with a company where she came and spoke to us as a group. There was like, I don't know, probably 800 people in the auditorium there. But I remember this funny story she told us while she was on the podium. She said she went to her son's soccer game, and she got kind of upset with her son because he was just standing around. He wasn't doing anything. And so she called him over there to the sidelines, and she said, "Son, you need to get active. Get after that ball. I mean, you're just standing around." He said, "Okay." You know, so as the game progressed, well, he did. He went and tried to hit the ball and stuff like that. Well, when the game was over, the coach came over to Pat and he said, "Your son was our goalie, and we had a few goals that got past him, and so, you know, you need to understand how this game's played." So we were just all cackling because she didn't really understand what was going on. But her point was, you gotta know your players and you gotta know your team. But it was kind of a funny.
I would imagine that would have been quite an event to have her come speak to your company.
Oh yeah, she was fantastic. I mean, you could just see the confidence and the way she delivered. I mean, I'll never forget her coming and talking to us because I thought that was really nice that her company sponsored her to come and you know, gave us that that time with her. But, and then another thing I want to talk about is this gentleman that was calling about the halftime. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, there's a lot of people that are Christians. I mean, but you got to pick your wars. I mean, the guy just, I don't know. I mean, once you get saved, your past
really,
is gone.
I will say, I mean, I've seen it all, as you have, and yeah, you know, there was a big debate years ago that the NFL was being too predictable. I mean, with all the old acts from the 60s and 70s, and they finally have gotten more present day, and Rihanna is one of the biggest stars in the world. She doesn't appear in public at all doing concerts. This was a big deal. I will admit, music today is more advanced than it was, but it's always been on the edge. That's what makes music so interesting.
Well, the thing about this halftime, it wasn't nothing like that one where
no.
they had a few years ago where that performer, you know, bared herself. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah, that was, accidental, of course. I don't know what to say. I mean, as far as his grandchildren, I'm not about to tell somebody what to do with their grandchildren.
No.
But I would imagine.
Well, like you said, just turn it off.
Yeah,
you know, if you got a problem with it.
And
that's
the easiest thing in the world to do. But I mean, does this guy have cable TV? I mean, has he been up and down the dial lately?
And another thing about the gentleman that you had on the ESPN writer that didn't vote Alabama to be in the top four. I mean, my goodness, he needs to look at how many top classes Alabama has had as far as recruiting. I mean, every year they're at least within the top 10 most of the time.
Well, no, I mean, Alabama has, it is a major upset when they're outside of the top three.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the last 2 years they've been 2-1.
Yeah. Well, he must have been smoking some wacky.
Well, I think a lot of people are. I think Philip ought to smoke a little weed. Maybe he'd loosen up. I'm not advocating that, of course, but it would be funny. And we'll televise it live. Corey is in Kentucky. Hello, Corey.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
Hey, I was just calling to, I don't really know how the rankings work and how they do with the numbers and statistics, but the I noticed Tennessee's lost three out of the last four, basketball-wise, men's, that is. Three out of the last four, and I think four out of the last eight or nine. I'm not understanding how they're still in the top ten.
I had the same thought today because you're right. And I think they're probably getting a lot of credit for losing in the most unbelievable manner possible, which they have. But most of that will be taken care of on Wednesday night when they play Alabama. That that game will determine whether they're still around the top 10 next week.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, everybody's hating on Cal. I was born and raised about 9 miles from Frank Ramsey. You remember him?
I definitely know who he was. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was born and raised about 9 miles from Frank Ramsey, and obviously I live in Owensboro, where Rex Chapman's from. So I'm a diehard UK fan. I just, you know, I'm a Cal lover, and I can't help but think that, you know, all these bandwagons that's jumping off are going to eventually jump back on.
Well, to me, and I fell for it early on, even after the ugly South Carolina loss, that when they got back, they got it going again. I still think they're capable. They have so many talented players, but you do have to wonder about the weight. I mean, Kentucky is, you know, forget the COVID season. That seemed like a complete and total aberration. But right now, the weight and the pressure of having literally no room for error, I think, is going to be insurmountable for them. Hey, thanks for the call. We head to the break. We are continuing with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A lot on the table on a busy afternoon and early evening.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We continue. Legend is next.
Woo! Rolex wearing, limousine riding, baby. Woo! NATO shoes cost more than most Kentucky fans' shirts. Woo! Number one in the nation, Paul. That's what I'm talking about. This is the first day officially of college basketball. Paul Feinbaum and look who's number one. Look who's coming to dinner, baby. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it? Woo! The Duke Kentucky, number one in the nation. Only took us 20 years, Paul. 20 years.
I remember the last time.
Man, 20 years, Paul.
Lasted a week, if I remember correctly, legend. Lasted a week under Mark Gottfried.
I don't even know how we got there under Gottfried.
Well, you know what? If I remember that season, legend, Alabama's number one in the country. They go lose to Utah. And it took a miracle to get Alabama in the tournament that year. That team collapsed.
Yeah, I don't even know how we got there. I think Jason Caffey was on that team. He was a decent. I'm about the only player. We didn't even have an NBA player on that team, man. But 20 years, Paul, to get the number one. Half the time that it took Georgia. Man, I can't imagine it taking 40 years to get back to number one. No wonder Alabama Junior started copying us and imitating us and listening to our meetings and taking notes home that Nick had and getting secret files from the University of Alabama and taking them to Georgia. No wonder Alabama Junior did that. Woo! I can imagine 40 years. Man, I love busting Auburn's heart down that Saturday, Paul. That was beautiful, baby.
Yeah, Bruce had them ready. Had game day, everything going their way.
Yeah, they ought to send us a gift basket because the only reason they got that game day was the new Kentucky showed up.
By the way, that is true.
That is absolutely true. Brandon Miller, Mark Sears, KQ. We see you, baby. We see you back. Let me tell you something, Paul, what Nate Oates has done. And I'm sure me and you love college basketball. Me and you have been watching it for years. I know it. You know it. You go all the way back to the Penny Hardaway day in Memphis. I go all the way back to the Eni Moe, Bobby Lee Hurt days at Alabama. We've been watching this a long time. But I'm going to tell you the difference between Nate Oates and John Calipari. And it's real simple. Nate Oates has brought an NBA style to Alabama. Alabama will pass up a layup to get a three. You know it's true. You watch an NBA game, they'll have a wide-open dunk and do a behind-the-back pass out to somebody open at the three to try to get a three-pointer, Paul. And Alabama has brought that wide-open style. And if you watch Kentucky, they are stagnant on offense. They don't even shoot threes unless it's that Graves guy. They got that same set where they force it down the seaway, then they do the same little cuts they've been doing for 20 years. The game has passed Calipari by. It's like being an old football coach and the spread has took over the college football and you still running a pro formation where you running a fullback straight up the middle. Am I wrong or am I right, Paul? Am I seeing this correctly? How do you see it?
Well, I think you're certainly seeing Alabama correctly.
What? You don't think that's true with Kentucky? I mean, he running the same offense he ran for 20 damn years. I mean, it's just stagnant, man. He better have five of the top eight recruits next year. Woo! There's a new Kentucky in town, baby. And let me say this about the Super Bowl, Paul. That's pathetic, man. Didn't I tell you last week that the officials were going to decide this game? Do you remember that conversation?
I do remember, yes.
Yes, I told you last week that an official was going to win the MVP of the Super Bowl. It's the reason I didn't bet a damn penny on it, because I knew in the end a fat, out-of-shape referee who has been the MVP of the AFC Championship game, been the MVP of many college games this year, was going to be the MVP again. It was a great season, but the MVP in the end was the officials, because they decided more games than Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts friggin' put together. And what's really disgusting is that basement-dwelling ice wife of a commissioner that we have actually has the nerve to get on TV last week and say that the NFL has no problem with their officials, that they're great officials. It's pathetic. There's billions of dollars bet on it. Greg Sankey and the commissioner of NFL, if y'all do anything, put these guys in year-round schools so finally the MVP MVPs won't be some idiot referee, and we won't be robbed of a great ending to a great season. You robbed a whole nation of a great ending due to a lousy damn official, and it's pathetic. I seen one man, Paul, he gave up his 401k to go to that game. It cost him $7,000. He was a Philly fan. You don't think he wanted to choke that official at the end? Come on, man. It's too much money. Let's get it together, baby. Woo! There's a new Kentuckian town. Number one in the nation, baby. Nate Oates and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Woo! Love you, Paul. Peace out, baby.
Ron is up next in Georgia. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Paul. Kentucky's going to be just fine. Calipari's a good coach, and everybody knows it. And just them young kids that just had mess this year, but they're going to be okay. And you'll see. They get that recruiting class coming in. They'll make a few changes, and they're going to be just fine. And the brother legend there, he needs to calm down with the Alabama being the next Kentucky. I mean, they had a good run this year, but the run ain't over. They still ain't accomplished nothing. They still got a long way to go.
Well, that's good to hear, Ron. I was worried about Kentucky, and now I am no longer concerned. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
You feel better?
Yeah. I'll sleep better tonight.
Anytime somebody says he's going to be just fine. Swami is up next.
Help us, Swami. Well, hey, big guy. I saved my car, Paul.
Swam?
No, Paul. The Swami has a question tonight.
Okay.
It concerns the Pac-10 and the Pac-12, you know. I mean, there's been a lot of conversation about it, both conferences, where they're going. But where do you think they're going, Paul, as far as the Big Ten and the Big 12 go? You know, I've heard the Big Ten or the Pac-10, saying they're going to, you know, except SMU and
Swami, first of all, the Big Ten is set. They have 16 schools now starting, is it next year or in 24? They've added UCLA and USC. The Big 12 is also set. They've added, BYU and UCF and Cincinnati and Houston. So they're in pretty good shape considering what they lost. I think they survived. I think the Pac-12 is in trouble.
I do too.
Adding SMU and San Diego State to me doesn't really add much to your bottom line. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Jason is in Kentucky. Hello, Jason.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Doing good. Hey, I watch every day. I've called maybe once or twice, but this legend guy, you know, especially when he talks about John Calipari, you know, when he gets HOF after his name, then he can talk. John Calipari hadn't forgotten how to coach. Legend needs to just shut his damn mouth and know his damn
role.
Well,
Jason,
I
don't want to take anything away from Alabama. It's a great accomplishment to be number one in the country, but you're judged by how you do in March, not what your ranking is in February.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm taking nothing away from Alabama either, but Legend needs I guess he knows everything about football, now basketball. I mean, what the hell does he think he knows?
He sounded like an expert to me. What about you, Randy?
Sound pretty sharp.
Yeah. So what? You tell me, though, Jason, if I could ask you, what are your thoughts right now on the situation with the UK?
Honestly, I think NIL's killing the sport. I don't think these kids care about anything. I live pretty close to campus. They're all driving around in nice cars, and they don't care anymore. And I think that's killing the entire sport, to be honest with you.
Well, it is changing everything. I agree. It's an equalizer. And Kentucky has always had, just like Alabama football, had a tremendous advantage because of the reputation, the facilities. I remember when the Wildcat Lodge opened, 30 or 40 years ago? Everybody in college basketball was up in arms. But Kentucky's always been able to stay ahead because it has the most fervent fan base in the world. And it is catching up a little bit. I still think Kentucky can recruit And that's evident, but you're not keeping the players very long. It's impossible to create a cohesive team unit with players bailing out every year. So ultimately, it's a bigger challenge, and it's yet to be determined exactly what Calipari's fate is going to be, but he's certainly under pressure. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and we still have 30 minutes to go, and Handsome Joe is up next.
Roll tie, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And hey, you know what? Hey. These Kentucky fans, why are they calling in jumping on legend, Paul? I mean, they're starting to sound like little whiny babies. I mean, we didn't whine this much, you know, losing, not winning the national title the last couple of years. So what? We move on. There's a bigger dog on the block right now. In football, it's Georgia. In basketball, it's Alabama. And sure, there's more games to go, but that's more games for Kentucky to lose ball games to. So, I mean, it's far from over. But it ain't that far from over, Paul, because we're just, what, a month away from March Madness. So all I know is we're definitely hitting a high stride right now. And if we could just handle that pressure being that number one spot, which none of these guys on their basketball team have been in this spot yet in their life. And so if they could just handle the pressure, you know, I think they've got a very good shot at this run, Paul. I mean, it's especially them, Alabama, these last few games, them last 5 minutes of the ball game. That's what separates the men from the boys right there, because they're pouring on the coals them last few minutes, and it's showing. I mean, the first half they're kind of just staying half and half, but that last, man, they're just full throttle on the gas pedal all the way, Paul. And as far as Super Bowl, it didn't matter to me who won this game, because hey, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so it don't matter to me who won the game. But I was for Philadelphia for obvious reasons, being an Alabama fan. But congrats to Kansas City. You know, they're probably – you look at the last two games they had, and they've skipped
yeah,
by
what,
the hair.
What Kansas City is doing right now would be considered a dynasty. They've been to 4 Super Bowls. They've won 2. I think they're pretty legitimate right now.
That's true. But it took like the game before this one, it took the other team making a mistake. Them didn't get past that game. And, I mean, it ain't like they're blowing teams out, but it is. But you're right, Paul, it is. I mean, they was – same identical record with Philadelphia, and they beat Philadelphia head up. There wasn't no referees cheating in this game, so my hat's off to Kansas City. And I do want to end this right here. For everybody that's lucky enough to have that significant other, hey, I hope y'all have a good Halloween.
Have a good Halloween on Valentine's Day. I like that. Yep, hey, thank you very much. By the way, remember the college football championship game, Alabama? That was last year, Alabama and Georgia. That game drew 23 million. The game this year drew 17 million fans. It was the most watched college football game of the year. Super Bowl ratings are out. 113 million people.
Is that a lot?
More than that, watch the halftime show. It peaked during Rihanna. That's when Philip went outside to look at the stars. Andy is in Rogers, Arkansas, right outside of Fayetteville. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Paul. Always an honor. How are you?
Thank you very much.
Man, great job last week.
Thank you.
I want to touch on three let's do four things. I want to touch on our friend Legend, the late call, which, you know, was a shame. Kentucky, and then I might hit the other one. But I tune into your show. I don't know Legend. He doesn't know me because of him. Hoping I can just, because I'm telling you, when he busts into that laugh, it makes me smile. It is so contagious. However, Legend, and I'm going to speak to you, you're an excellent prognosticator. I mean, you called the Florida-Alabama game. You're off. You said they win by 20. They won by 29. So you need to work on that. but on the other hand, you can be a bit bombastic when it comes to, you just preached to us how Georgia shouldn't stand on a high horse because they won the national championship and they didn't knock anybody. But now you're selling me on Alabama just because they're ranked number one for a week. All right, my friend. So remember that. Don't jinx your team. And also, so thank you to Legend for being extremely entertaining. Take it for what you will. The other thing, that call did not lose the game, as we all know, for Philadelphia. Philadelphia lost that game. So let's start with the 65-yard punt return. Nobody tackled them. That was a lot of missed tackles.
Hey, Andy, let's start with who was designing the pass coverage for Philadelphia in the second half? I mean, I've never seen two guys down in the red zone more open than in my life.
Pathetic. Truly pathetic. I really want to see Jalen Hurts put a whooping on him, you know, coming out of Alabama and transferring to Oklahoma and stuff like that. And he did. He did. He would have been.
No, I thought Jalen Hurts played a spectacular game.
A pure game, too.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
So humble. Do you remember when he got replaced by Tua? Did he ever say a crossword?
Never said a word.
No, I'm a big fan. I have been for a while. I want to talk about Kentucky real quick. I can remember when Malik Monk, who played at Bentonville High School,
sure,
fantastic high school player, and he transferred to Bentonville to get, you know, closer to the top, and he decided to go with Kentucky because he was told by the coach, I'm going to put you in the NBA 1 year. I think what Calipari has done is become a victim of his own circumstance. He has created the one and done at such force that he's forgot to build a culture. You cannot build a team around a bunch of outstanding five-star recruits unless you get them to play together. And I think he has lost that ability to get these fantastic kids to play together. And I can't remember my other point, but hey, man, thanks for
anyway, that was a great point on Malik Monk, though. Hey, thank you very, very much. Let's talk to Bruce next, who is in Alabama. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are doing great.
I got a question and a comment. My comment's real quick. I think all these Kentucky fans need to lay off a Legend. He's just a fan. He's an Alabama fan. We take him just like Harvey Updike. We don't really, you know, like to admit that, but we're still fans. And I think he's just gotten excited that Alabama's done something that, hell, before Nick Saban, I don't even remember the last time we could even talk number one in football or basketball. I mean, I know Gene Stallings did it in 92.
Well, yeah, in football, it was 1992, and in basketball, it was 2003.
Does it? Okay. Well, I think he's just a little excited, that's all.
Well, by the way, you should be excited. I mean, if you're an Alabama basketball fan, Nate Oates has given you a winner.
He turned that program around.
Yeah, it's dramatic. I mean, the person before him was pretty average.
Yes. And he went off to the NBA, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't bad, but there was no excitement. It was a phenomenal hire. Thanks so much. I-Man is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. You remember back in our younger days, maybe your college days, high school days, we were listening to songs by James Taylor, You Got a Friend, Carole King, I Feel the Earth Move, you know, some Paul Simon, and,
sure,
you know, various songs. I mean, even some Crosby, Stills, and Nash, you know, Marrakesh Express, Teach Your Children. And our parents and grandparents were raising hell about the music we were listening
to. Oh, my goodness.
And those songs, I mean, you know, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, all these people are selling commercials. Their music's on commercials. But we were all going to hell and in a handbasket and what's the world coming to and what have y'all done to us? And you know, when I didn't watch any of the halftime stuff, I mean, or the commercials. I just kind of tuned into the game, and when it, you know, I just flipped back and forth. Because none of that stuff is, it's really not geared towards me, my demographic, if you will. And some of the stuff that I used to find amusing and, you know, kind of cute and funny and chuckly and that kind of thing, maybe my taste has changed over the years. But I do know music is constantly evolved. And, you know, I hear a lot of people saying the same thing about the halftime show, you know, that our parents said to us about our music. Is that a fair statement?
It, well, it's 100% correct. And this, by the way, this has been going on forever. And
forever.
It doesn't matter what era. I mentioned that old coot we had earlier about Elvis. I mean, Elvis was... This is 1954. That's what, 66 years ago, 69 years ago? I mean, people were in shock. When he went on television, he couldn't do, they would not let him shake his hips.
They wouldn't show him.
No.
Yeah. I mean, and that wasn't even the Super Bowl. That was just a 2.5-minute song.
And by the way, what she did is, I mean, it's like, it's like a glass of milk today. I mean, that her halftime show was PG compared to what most people are getting up and down the music. But that's, you know, that's no big deal. That's what music's always been about.
Art and entertainment has got an umbrella over it that's, you kind of know it when you see it, and you kind of either like it or dislike it.
Well, I heard Bono talk about this once. He talked about how. You know, what separates music is it's liberating. It doesn't matter what your gender is, nothing matters except the expression of the art. And I'm not, that's what it's, that's the same way with art, same way with anything else in that field.
I mean, look how far we've come from Beethoven. And we still rolling over Beethoven.
Yeah, never done that.
Let's talk about football. Let's talk about the football game. You know, I thought it was kind of amusing in the first quarter when one of the guys talking on TV said, you know, let's talk about Jalen Hurts and his story. You know, he was at the championship game. They pulled him, and then he was kind of put on the bench and forced out at Alabama, forced to leave. Is that the terms that guy used on TV?
That's what Jalen was
forced out of?
That's what I think it was Greg Olsen who said. I don't remember specifically, but – you and I both know the truth.
He was forced.
No, he was not forced to leave.
No one put
Jalen Hurts in the back of a station wagon and said, you have to leave here. He could have stayed long as he wanted.
What they did was they looked over there and they took the fragile kid who wasn't even playing on Sunday.
So what you're trying to do here, Lyman, you're trying to make this about Nick Saban.
No, I didn't bring him up. I'm talking about the Bama fans and how the Bama fans claim him, but yet they said that he was forced out at Alabama and had to go to Oklahoma, you know, the school that he finished up at, and got all the quarterback whispering and led him to the Super Bowl. And if it had been for Lane Kiffin,
I'm willing to bet you, Nick Saban told him that was a good.
But guess what? Lane Kiffin had a quarterback in the Super Bowl, and the other guy didn't.
Well, and Lane Kiffin still lost to Nick Saban for about the 18,000th time this year, which is really what all that matters. We'll go to a break. We're coming back. Final few minutes of the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Angel Baker getting ready for Ole Miss. They've got the Wildcats in town tonight. This game begins in under 9 minutes. Later tonight, don't forget, Georgia men's basketball SEC Inside. Take you behind the scenes with Mike White over that monumental win over the University of Kentucky. Al is up next in Birmingham. Al, thank you. Good afternoon.
Paul, is there a monumental win over Kentucky anymore?
Well, if you're a first-year coach and you're trying to build a program, you have to build on something.
That's true. Paul, I hate to break it to the legend, but I believe your Memphis Tigers or Memphis State basketball allegiance goes back a little farther than Penny Hardaway.
Well, it does, but I did not want to correct him. He was on a roll, and remember, once you're on a roll, you just let somebody go.
That's right. That was a pretty good team back there, Larry Finch and Larry Keenan, that Gene Bartow had. Paul, you remember in that game, you remember Bill Walton only missed one shot, I think. I think he was 21 of 22. Do you know why he missed the one shot?
I was at the game. I vaguely remember. Was it a goaltending? I can't remember.
It was an offensive goaltending. Okay. Dunking was not legal, and he turned his hand over the cylinder.
Do you remember? I don't know if Al, you remember. I interviewed Walton many, many years ago when we were in Birmingham, and I mentioned that game. He said, yeah, and Coach Bartow was still alive. He said, "Yeah, if you see Gene, ask him about that defense he played on me that night."
Yeah. Well, they didn't have anybody. I mean, I think the biggest player Memphis had was probably 6'8". I think they had a 6'9" guy in the middle, but I don't remember the names.
By the way, Al, that was the first Monday night game in NCAA basketball history. Until then, the games were Thursday. And Saturday. We're out of time. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.